Now, Lydia was an incredibly wealthy area, and this is most clearly seen by the tombs of the elite, which, like the Phrygians, and perhaps even in imitation of them, took the form of tumuli. Now, if you remember when we were talking about the Phrygians, we talked about the great mound that had the tomb chamber inside. This is exactly what we find amongst the Lydians, except that the Lydian tomb chambers aren't wood, like the Phrygians were, but they are stone. So within a massive man-made earth mound, we find stone burial chambers that held the bodies and grave goods of the elite. And as I mentioned, and I'll talk more about in our next lecture, the Phrygians were masters at manipulating cut stone blocks. Now, the earliest and the largest Lydian tumulus probably belonged to King Aliates, and it's located today at a place called Bin Tepe, which in Turkish means the place of 1,000 mounds. There are not actually 1,000 mounds there, but there are several hundred. And Bin Tepe is located not far from Sardis. In fact, from Sardis, you can look out across the plain and see the outline of these artificial mounds, the cemeteries of the important leaders of the Lydians. Now, although the tomb of Aliates was looted in antiquity, still its magnificence is clear. The burial chamber was of marble, of big rectangular marble blocks, and the tumulus itself, the earthen mound, was 2/3 of a mile around and 226 feet tall, almost twice the height of the Statue of Liberty. Very impressive tomb. Now, Lydia reached the height of its power under its last king, King Croesus, who ruled from 560 to 547 BC. Now, today, the name Croesus is still synonymous with wealth. And he seems to have been one of the richest of the Lydian kings. Now, most of what is known about him comes from the writings of the Greek historian Herodotus, and I've mentioned him several times. Herodotus writes quite a bit about this king. Other Greek authors did as well, and it's very clear that the Greeks to the west knew about Croesus and were fascinated by the ruler. In part, this was due to his patronage of Greek religious centers, such as Delphi in Greece, where he donated costly gold, silver, and bronze objects. We know that he was fascinated with Greek religion and with the Greek gods and gave lavishly to their sanctuaries. For example, he also helped to fund the construction of the huge Temple of Artemis at Ephesus. And I mentioned this temple in the last lecture, one of these giant Ionic order buildings that were constructed in the mid-6th century BC with their forests of columns that seemed to imitate Egyptian-style architecture. Well, Croesus helped pay for the final elements of this building. Even the columns that today can be studied have his name on it because he paid for the construction of these columns. So he seemed to have been a friend to the Greeks. After all, during this period, much of Ionia was under his control.